Good morning, everyone. First of all, let me say that I hope you and your loved ones have been keeping safe and well in these very challenging times. Second, let me apologize for the fact that due to the extraordinary circumstances we find ourselves in today, we cannot meet in person this year at our annual general meeting. But as you know, and I'm sure you'll appreciate it, it is important that we all comply with the law, prioritize each other's safety and well-being, and take the steps needed to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Whilst the arrangements for today's meeting are consequently not as optimal as we would wish, we nevertheless have worked hard to ensure that your views will be appropriately represented and recorded. That said, let me now offer you my CEO's report. The last time we met, it was a long time ago in a very different world. Obviously, an event like the COVID-19 pandemic changes priorities and inevitably makes individuals and companies like ours focus on what's really important right now. For us, that means running the bank safely and profitably, helping our customers and clients through the difficulties they face, supporting the UK economy and the communities where we live and work, and taking care of our colleagues around the world. We've been able to do that because of the underlying strength of our business and the resilience of our diversified model. And I've been especially proud of the way my colleagues across Barclays have risen to the challenges of this extraordinary time. So I want to start today by taking a few minutes to set out how we've been responding to the crisis. Our business touches half the households in the UK. We know that some of our customers are facing very real and very daunting financial challenges. And this is a worrying time for the vast majority, regardless of the circumstances. We've moved quickly to give them the reassurance and support they need. To give you just a couple of examples, so far, Barclays has granted repayment holidays on 100,000 mortgages and on over 69,000 loans. We're providing an interest-free buffer on overdrafts for 5.4 million customers. And beyond that, we've reduced and capped charges until at least July. We've waived late payment fees and cash advance fees for 8 million Barclays card customers and granted some 112,000 payment holidays. 655 of our branches remain open across the UK, providing vital banking services, while our teams are fielding some 260,000 calls a week. That's 44% higher than the typical volume. And I'm really pleased that we've been able to proactively identify NHS and key workers among our customer base and move them to the front of call queues as their time is especially precious at this moment. Getting businesses through this period intact is crucial to give the best chance of a rapid and sustainable economic recovery. It's also in our shareholders' interest. The UK government has put huge resources into supporting that ambition, and it's the central topic of almost every conversation I have with ministers. It is an unprecedented effort by them and by the Bank of England, and we're committed to playing our full part to help get that support to the businesses that need it. We have now approved 5,270 CBIL loans with a total value of just over £1 billion. And we expect those numbers to increase rapidly in the coming weeks. So in addition to the CBILS program, on Monday, we launched the Bounce Back program with Her Majesty's Treasury. On the first day, for 20,000 small businesses across the United Kingdom, we approved loans that totaled £670 million. Behind those numbers are stories of businesses and jobs surviving this crisis. Take the Titanic Brewery up in Staffordshire. It's a local favorite, selling 3 million pints in a normal year through its chain of pubs and beyond. We helped them secure a £1 million CBIL loan, and put in place a 12-month payment holiday on an existing loan they had with us. That has allowed the business to keep producing and selling beers online, protecting jobs, and allowing them to pay their furloughed workers full wages. Or take the Queensbury Hotel and Olive Tree Restaurant in Bath, which I've been to. This is a family-run four-star hotel that's had to shut its doors due to the coronavirus. But without help, they were able to get a £450,000 civil loan quickly. That loan means that they can cover running costs, their staff are able to be furloughed rather than laid off, and they'll be able to retain their hard-earned Michelin star, which would have been forfeited if they had given the closure. Make no mistake, interventions like these are making the difference between survival and failure for businesses, and we're pleased to be playing our part in keeping them going. We've also been absolutely central because of our strong investment banking capabilities to helping larger businesses to access the Bank of England and Treasury's CCFF program. So far, we have arranged £7.2 billion of commercial paper for UK corporates over the past few weeks, representing 45% of this total market. In addition to our backing to those government schemes, we've also been able to provide significant help on our own to our business clients. For example, we've waived everyday banking fees and overdraft interest or charges until June for 650,000 of our small business customers. And we've put in place 12-month capital repayment holidays for most SMEs with loans of over £25,000. We're continuing to extend credit to companies, and there is £50 billion of lending limits available to our UK clients. But we're not stopping there, though. We also continue to evolve our approach and offering to clients big and small to help them through the crisis, because it is crucial that we preserve as many businesses and jobs as we can to aid the recovery when it ultimately comes. As you know, Barclays has deep roots in the communities where we live and work, and I'm proud of everything our colleagues do year-round to support their local areas, never more so than now. That includes going above and beyond for our customers to help them any way we can. Whether that's our colleague, Glynis Wilson, she's in a contact center in Sunderland. She's helping a customer in dire straits to access charitable support, and then we made a goodwill payment to see that this customer got through a very tight spot. Or our colleague, Hine Mystery in Hyde, ringing vulnerable customers to see how they're doing, and then getting an ambulance for an elderly man who is obviously having difficulty breathing. Or our colleague, Caroline Pearson, in Harrow and Edgware Branch, helping an 80-year-old customer keep a special promise to her grandson by guiding her through buying on his birthday a pair of Traders online. These are just three stories in hundreds up and down the country where our people are working beyond their professional obligations to support vulnerable customers. We are carrying on delivering our core citizenship programs, such as Life Skills and Connect with Work, with a particular focus now on helping mitigate the impacts of COVID-19. But we're trying to do even more. For example, where we can, we're now offering colleagues 4 weeks paid leave to volunteer to support health or social care work and helping those that are vulnerable. And we've launched a $100 million community aid package made up of $50 million in grants for charity partners in the UK and our international markets, and $50 million to match colleague donations. That equates to up to £150 million from Barclays and our colleagues deployed to help the communities and people hardest hit by the crisis, from providing food to vulnerable families to purchasing protective equipment for NHS staff. We understand that our fortunes are intertwined with those of the communities and economies we serve. And at times like these, more than ever, our obligation is to support them. And we're going to continue to do that and prioritize that effort through this crisis. Finally today, I want to briefly set out some overall thoughts on our performance, both in 2019 and in the first quarter, which we reported on the 29th of April. Barclays finished 2019 in a very good position. The group return on tangible equity, our ROTE, was 9%, meeting our target for the year, and almost double as it was a couple years ago. We also met the cost guidance we had set out, coming in at the lower end of the range of £13.6 billion. Our liquidity ratio at 160% was among the highest we've ever had. And the bank's CET1 capital ratio, a key measure of our financial strength and stability, stood at 13.8% at year-end, the highest in our company's history. We were pleased with that performance in and of itself. But more importantly, Barclays was in a really robust state going into what has become an extraordinary period of social and economic stress. The impact of COVID-19 came late and was, until that point, a pretty good quarter. That said, the performance of the business since then has demonstrated clearly the resilience of our universal banking model, rooted in diversification by business line and geography and currency. And as we've said in the past, there is a countercyclicality between a consumer business and a wholesale business. So in this economic crisis, while you would expect returns were down in Barclays UK and in consumer cards and payments where their ROTEs were in single digits or below, the corporate investment bank performed strongly in the first quarter, producing a double-digit return on tangible equity of 12.1%. And this was particularly done as we supported our clients during a period of extreme volatility in our capital markets business, which roughly doubled its revenue in the first quarter. Sustained cost discipline and positive jaws in our CIB delivered a group cost-to-income ratio of 52%. That's better than our target of less than 60% over time and our lowest quarterly group cost-to-income ratio since 2011. Overall, the group return on tangible equity for the quarter was 5.1%. Given the uncertainty around the developing economic downturn and the low interest rate environment, 2020 is expected to be challenging for our business. That said, we continue to believe that a sustainable group ROTE above 10% is the right target for Barclays and is attainable over time. Importantly, we've taken a $2.1 billion credit impairment charge in the quarter, of which $1.4 billion is a result of applying a very challenging forecast through our credit models. We think this is very prudent. Even after this, Barclays generated £913 million of profit before tax, 3.5 pence of earnings per share, and attributed a profit of £605 million in the quarter. Your group remains well capitalized with a CET1 ratio of 13.1%. And we will manage our capital position through this crisis in a way which enables us to support customers and clients whilst maintaining an appropriate headroom for regulatory requirements. As you know, in response to a request by the Prudential Regulation Authority, we canceled the 2019 full-year dividend payment. The board will make a decision about future dividends and capital returns policy at the end of 2020, when the full impact of COVID-19 on our bank is clear. But let me say, for the avoidance of doubt, that it remains a management priority to generate and distribute attractive returns for shareholders, and we want to do so again as soon as we can. So to conclude, and in summary, my colleagues and I are today primarily focused on what matters right now, which is supporting our customers and clients, our communities, and the wider economy to navigate the pandemic. The strength of our business and the resilience of our model means we can run this bank safely and profitably and provide that support until this crisis passes. And I believe that your bank will emerge on the other side in a strong position to support the recovery and leave a reputation as having stood with the citizens of Great Britain in this time of crisis. Thank you.